be resigned to the conflict as far as right and wrong goes. You don't try to resolve it. You just resign yourself to it. Remember, that's where we had fun with the que sera, sera, whatever will be song. Okay, that's that idea. Okay, now today, what I want to look at is that public opinion is fast becoming the rule of determining what's right and what is wrong. But public opinion doesn't decide rightness or wrongness. It only determines the acceptance or rejection of an action by society. So you see, when public opinion says this is okay, that doesn't make it okay, all right? Because it is simply saying what society thinks about it. Now, in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, and this is a verse I've read before, Isaiah 5, 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Does that sound familiar? Uh-huh. It sure does. "That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." That's what public opinion is determining. And they're wise in their own eyes. And it's what they think is right, that's what's right. And you say, well, something's wrong, and they don't accept it. You say, well, that's what the Bible says. Well, they don't accept the Bible. Now, the fact that they don't accept it doesn't change the authority of the Scriptures. You and I know that. And eventually, all of mankind will know that. But at the point in which we're living, public opinion carries more weight in people's eyes. But God says there would be a time like that. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The approach that society may take to something, and they may determine this is good, this is okay, that's going to rule, because that's what the majority feels, and that's what the powers behind that either legislation or just that approach to life, there's a way which seems right to man, but the end are the ways of death. In other words, there is a judgment, there is a destruction that will come about because it's going to be based on the Bible. The Bible is the standard. God's word is the determiner of right and wrong. The Bible is the determiner of good and bad, holy and unholy, righteous and sinful. And even though we live in a time when society, as a rule, now there are pockets of exception, and that's always refreshing. But in general, society does not go along with what the Bible says. But we live by the standards of the Bible. We proclaim the word of God to others, and God is the one who is in control and is reigning.
Amen.
Now, the more society gets away from God, the worse things are going to be as far as evil, calling evil good and good evil. That kind of condition is just going to increase. And there could come a time when one feels as if it's all lost. There's no hope. I mean, there's no way to change this. How are we going to redirect this? Well, it's nice when the government accepts the standards of the Word of God. This was true in our nation in years past, decades, centuries past, okay? This is the way things were. And that's wonderful. And to grow up in a society that is governed by the dictates of Scripture, that's very refreshing. But the fact of the matter is that there are Christians that have not only lived, but they've survived. They've not only survived, but they have thrived when the government was like it was in the New Testament. You see, we feel as if, oh, things are really getting bad, and they are, but oh, things are getting bad. How are we going to live? The Lord's got to come again soon. Yeah, he's going to come again, and he's going to come soon. But I'm afraid there's a lot of people talking about the coming of the Lord. They are wanting him to come, not to see him, but just to get away from this. And that's not the way we ought to be looking for the Lord to come.
No.
Now the fact of the matter is that, remember, it was in Bible times and shortly thereafter that the Caesars did persecute the church. Nero, how many of you heard of him? He was a bad dude. Nero was not good news for the Christians. But you see, that's back in the Bible time. So here we're living where we are and we're saying, oh, I don't know. Somebody foolishly made the statement that if God doesn't come and straighten things out, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
I forbid.
Now, listen, first of all, God never has to apologize to anybody.
Amen.
And, but you say, well, things are awful bad. You know that the determination of bad is not what's different in the United States of America.
That's right.
You can go to countries today and parts of countries today that would make America look like it's having a revival.
Uh-huh.
We live for God because we love God. One of the reasons why I think that the church is losing power in these days, okay, in the United States of America, that the church doesn't have the power that it once had is because God hasn't given us power to satisfy ourselves. He's given it to bring glory.
Amen.
And honor to himself.
That's right.
And we've got too many, again, that are just looking. They're using God. My lands. You know, how would you like to be used? And how would you like the things you do and things people ask you to do? We're all for their selfish intention. You know what? You'd soon say, hey, buddy, hit the road, pound sand. I'm not your lackey, okay? We wouldn't put up with that. And yet this is what a lot of people in the United States of America, that's how they want to use God. They're using God to achieve and accomplish their purposes. Now they'll dress it up with religious talk and religious actions. But we're here to serve God. We're here to do his will. We're here to bring him honor. We're here for him to use us. But I'm afraid there's too much that we've got it mixed up. We've got it backwards. And so we Christians need the Bible to guide us. Romans 7:13 says that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. That's sad when you have to take something that's sinful, something that's wrong, and you have to make a determination that this is sinful. No, listen, these things that God talks about here. Now remember what we're talking about in these messages? We're talking about things that God hates.
Amen.
We know God loves, And we want God to love, and we're all grateful for the love of God. And God has made clear his love in the scriptures, but he's also made clear his hate. And without the basis of God's word, we can excuse and rationalize and explain away most any sin. Okay? You can do that. Without having the foundation of the word of God and the thus saith the Lord, you can come up with excuses for so many different things. And you and I need to hate sin. If our love is real, we'll hate sin. Psalm 101 and verse 3, okay? Psalm 101 and verse 3. David says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. If our love is real, we'll hate sin. We should hate quitting. You've heard the old saying, I'm sure, quitters never win and winners never quit. Well, that's a tricky little saying because it's true. And God is against quitting. He says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. Just, you know, you set your mind on something, you set a goal on something, and then you go at it and you keep at it until you achieve it. You say, well, that's not easy. Show me in the book where we're promised that things will be easy. You know we're not promised for things to be easy, but things to be right. Well, I don't understand. I go to church all the time. I even say my prayers regularly. And I don't understand it. Things are so hard. Life is hard. And you know, you say, well, you like it? No, I don't like it. Why would I like it when things were hard and things were difficult? Why would I like it when people make fun of you or people put you down or people do things that are make it difficult for you? Nobody would like that. It's not normal to like that. But nevertheless, we do right because it's right to do right. Bob Jones Sr., he was the right one. he was the old firebrand, okay? And he had a saying, do right till the stars fall. You know, well, the stars are never going to fall. You got the point. Just do right. There isn't any reason to not do right. There is no Bible, God-accepted reason to do wrong. Right. And it'll only get you into trouble. So give up giving up. Keep on keeping on. Dropping out is not an option. Letting someone else hang with something is despicable. Letting someone else pick up the pieces, letting someone else finish the project. Well, I've been working at this now for quite a while. I think I'll let somebody else finish it. Oh, and then here's the real hypocrite. I think I'll let somebody else get the praise for it. they're looking to give praise to somebody else. They're just looking for a little save face in order to get out of something. You ought to be better off. Listen to me now. You ought to be better off today than you were a year ago. Now, you know what? The first time I heard that, long, long, when you're this age, everything's long, long ago. when I first heard that, I had to stop and think, well, how was I a year ago? How am I better now than I was a year ago? You know, that's a tricky little way to say it. And it's a good thing to say. But you know, Think it through. Now, sometimes I can determine if I'm better in an area than I was a year ago if I recognize I'm not better in that area. Okay? I once was this, and now I'm this, and this is not good. Okay? And that's how many times I can look at it and determine I'm not better than I was a year ago. Of course, life is not just one big ball. It's made up of many, many different compartments. I think of that one ball that we gave away as a prize. I think Taryn got it, you know, where you slow it down the ground and it changes colors and shapes turn around and everything. I always thought that was neat. Do you still have that or did you break it already? It got broke already. And so if you don't quit, we will grow. If we don't stop, we will be able to stick it out. Just another thought here, and then we're going to take the time for prayer. We ought to die better than we were born. Well, we were born. You know, we were born with a sweet little innocent thing like Noah there, you know. And, well, Sam was once a sweet little innocent thing, okay? And look what happened to him. See? He even admits he was never a sweet little innocent thing. That's what his brothers all thought right along, but yeah, we like to have fun about these things, don't we? But the fact of the matter is, we were born in sin. We ought to die in righteousness. Born in sin, but die in righteousness. Psalm 119, in Psalm 119 and verse 104, and this is another one of those verses that we've read before in this context. Psalm 119, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. If it were not for the precepts of God, we would not have an understanding that would cause us to hate false ways. Some false things would look beneficial. Some false things would look worth enduring or having. But because through the Word of God, we get an understanding about stuff, we therefore hate every false way. I mean, if you're at the store when the guy just came out with a scratch card and he won $500, woo-wee, you know, you can soon begin to get, you think to yourself, it might be worth trying. Now, likely he did not keep track for the last half year of every $5 that he spent and how much he has actually gotten, okay? He may have won $500, but he spent $400 to get there. And so, you see, if we're into the precepts, the teachings of the Word of God, now we get an understanding. And not only is there an understanding that it's not just a matter of a dollar amount, but it's a matter that God tells us that we ought to work to get our income. Okay, we ought to work to get what finances we have. That's what the Bible teaches us. And that's one of the reasons why gambling is wrong. I remember I preached a couple of messages on the matter of gambling and why gambling is wrong. And one of the main reasons it's wrong, whether it's just a dollar scratch card or you're going to the casino and laying out $100 bills constantly, the fact of the matter is, God says your income should come as a result of your labor, of your work, not of somebody else's misfortune. And that's what's at play with the whole matter of gambling. We should hate every false way. I hate every false way. Elijah didn't look for what was good about the prophets of Baal. When he was there competing with the prophets of Baal, He didn't say, well, you know, guys, now we see eye to eye on this. You know, we both agree on this. And he didn't try to win their favor. He hated their false ways. Now, how we go about applying that today in the relationships that we have, all right? Because we have different relationships. I have some relatives that are Roman Catholic. Probably you do as well. And there he comes. And so we have these relationships with people that have these false ways. Now, a saying that we commonly use, I think, needs to be applied here, and that is, you don't go about bringing them to the Lord. You don't go about influencing them for Christ by taking into them like a bull in a china shop. Okay? If you want to close every possible door to reach someone, just go about doing everything that you can to offend them. Our goal is not to offend someone, it's to stand for the truth. Paul the apostle says, speaking the truth in what?
Love.
Love. Yeah. So he never did back down, but that doesn't mean he became offensive in order to stand for the truth. And that's a distinction that is not always easy to put into play. Now, Mormons have damnable doctrines. They teach that the Lord Jesus Christ is the brother of Satan. And that's not just weird. It's an attack on the deity of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I never knew that. Well, that's because you just don't read the right stuff about the Mormons. You know, I read everything they left at my doorstep. Yeah, and you think they're going to tell you that on your doorstep? And so there's resources, there's literature out there that can help you to understand. Romanism. Now, you know, in Olean we've got the big St. Mary of the Angels Church. And it's a basilica now. I don't know, I read in the newspaper what that meant, but I didn't understand it then, and I still don't understand what it means. It just means it's a fancier situation than it was before it was determined to be a basilica. Romanism says that Mary is a co-mediator with Christ. Huh? Yeah, huh? Co-mediator. Co means two, right? You and I, the Bible says, are co-laborers with Christ. Christ is here working to honor God, and we are co-laboring. We are laboring with him. And so when they say that Mary is a co-mediator with Christ, that it what it does, Jesus Christ, you and I know, salvation is by Jesus alone, by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But according to Romanism, no, Mary became a co-mediator. She mediates. You can go to Mary and then she'll take it to Jesus, because after all, what son won't listen to his mother? Humanizing. Going about humanizing. There was an organization, I think it's still functioning, but well, many years ago, it could be 20, 25 years ago now, it was called Evangelical and Catholics Together Accord. And the acronym was ECTA, Evangelicals and Catholics Together Accord. And they were going to work together. We'll get so much more done together than we could individually. Friends, if you read history, you'll find out that Rome has one purpose, and that's to bring everybody under its authority. And they will acknowledge groups, organizations, to the end that it eventually is able to come under, or they're able to come under Rome's control. You said, you don't sound very loving to me. Remember, what's the subject that we're dealing with? Things God hates. And he hates false ways. He hates falsehoods. The more you love this book, the Bible, the more you'll hate false ways. Maybe somebody says, preacher, you should not name another religion like that. That's not very good to name another religion like that. And I realize that depending on who were to hear it, it could be very offensive to them. But folks, when do we teach you? When do we teach the local church? When do we teach you as the family? If we can never teach you something that's offensive to somebody because they might hear it, okay, then you're just, you know, you're going to, the church is going to become very ignorant. Now, please, ignorant means without knowledge. You know, we have said, thought that ignorant means stupid. No, it doesn't. It means without knowledge. And you will also witness to people that you are worried about hearing someone be, well, you go to that church, and that church, they think thus and such. Okay? Now, let me just pause here. That's one reason why we need to be careful that we are not, here it is, needlessly offensive.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, you're interacting with your cousin, but your cousin doesn't live in a vacuum. Your cousin has other family, parts of your family. Your cousin, and it could be another, it could be an uncle, it could be an aunt, I'm just picking cousin. Your cousin, you see, has people and friends they know. And so we're going to go out door to door inviting people to come to church. And we knock on a door and we introduce ourselves. Hello, I'm so-and-so. We're from Black Creek Baptist Church. We're out inviting folks to come. I'm not interested. Oh, okay. Well, may I leave this pamphlet with you? Nope. Take it along. Give it to somebody else. I'm not interested in it. So, you know, you say, okay, good evening. Thanks for letting me speak to you. And, you know, they'll close the door. And sometimes that can be a little emphatically, okay, because they're telling you something with the way they close the door. And you walk away, you know, what's with them? I wonder what's going on. You see, what you don't know is they are a friend of your cousin. And because this individual was your cousin and you thought you could lace into them about their Catholicism and you could chew them up one side and down another to tell them what's wrong with where they go to church. And you thought because it was your cousin, it was just going to stay between you and your cousin. Boy, are you misled. Nothing just say. And therefore, they go and they tell their friend.
Yeah.
And that's the person that you knocked on the door. I know I told one fellow one time, they lived in a small church. There's a glare in that clock back there. I'm sure it only says 7:15. But
yeah. You wish. Glaring error.
Yeah, glaring error. That's good. I like that. I used to tell people, listen, this is a small town. Our area here is a small area. It's like an orchard. We make an apple orchard. There's only so many trees in that orchard. And you go pick the apples. You want to be careful when you go out picking the apples. You want to wait until you find the ripe apples. And you don't want to go needlessly, you know, knocking down other apples. They'll ripen if you leave them hang. And therefore, you have to just pick the fruit that's ripe at the time, and you have to be careful about the other fruit that's hanging there, because you don't have a limitless orchard. Your orchard is small. You know, if you're working in, like, say, Buffalo, you can go out, you can go door to door, and you never have to go back to the same door. You're going to go somewhere else. Now, they have relatives up there, so you can have, you know, some of this problem, but minimize compared to, like, around here. And therefore, you have to be careful where you're working.
That's right.
Okay? And it just, to me, it's just common sense, but it's amazing how that can be lacking a lot of times. And so, you ask the Lord to help you and ask Him to lead you. And He promised that He will do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and for your grace and your goodness that you give to us. I pray, Father, that these things shared tonight, these things spoken of, will be of help. Lord, that each person can take a little bit of something from this part or that part. It can help them, Lord, in the matter of living to please you. And help us to study your precepts so that we indeed